Well, hello and welcome back to the Slide Log Podcast. I'm your host, William Reichel, the podcast where we deep dive in all things related to the security industry. Join us as we take a deep dive into discussing training options, analyzing statutes, real-world scenarios, and exploring the practical application of the Texas Penal Code for security professionals. Whether you're a seasoned officer or just starting out, this is a podcast for you. In today's episode, we're diving into several key Texas laws, statutes, and procedures that govern your authority as a security officer. These are your bread and butter, and you should know these like the back of your hand, and keep these in that little three-ring binder that I was telling you about. We'll be covering topics from investigating theft, making arrests without a warrant, to understanding various offenses like disorderly conduct, theft, criminal mischief, and the penal code covering someone trying to disarm a security officer. And remember, we aren't lawyers. This is not legal advice, so act accordingly. So let's dive in. I will apologize in advance. This episode is going to be a little bit long-winded and full of legal jargon. So if you need to grab an energy drink, do so now. All right, first up, let's talk about the legal privilege to investigate theft, which is going to be one of your main tools as a security officer in loss prevention. This is covered under Title 6, Chapter 124 of the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code. This statute essentially provides legal grounds for merchants, their employees, and certain others to detain individuals if they have reasonable cause to believe that theft has occurred. The code states, Section 124.001, suspected theft of property or attempted theft of property. Subsection A, a person who reasonably believes that another has stolen or is attempting to steal property is privileged to detain that person in a reasonable manner for a reasonable time to investigate ownership of the property. This law states that a person can act on this privilege to conduct a limited investigation to determine if stolen property is on the person or if they committed a theft at all. This privilege aims to give businesses a way to protect their property and maintain order without having to solely rely on law enforcement. However, it is important to remember that this privilege must be exercised carefully. The investigation should be conducted in a reasonable manner and should not involve excessive force or prolonged detention. Misusing this privilege can lead to civil liability or even criminal charges against the person conducting the investigation. So if you're a business owner or employee, make sure you're familiar with these guidelines before taking actions. The way I interpret this statute is that I'm allowed to use reasonable force to detain someone that is suspected of or is attempting to steal from you. Meaning, if I observe you stealing or I think you stole something, I have the legal right to stop and detain you and verify if you in fact stole something. This is one of the authorities that allows us as security officers to do our job when it comes to loss prevention. Many officers I've talked to don't know they have this authority, and it hinders a lot of officers to thoroughly do their job. This code goes hand in hand with the next segment. All right, leapfrogging off of the previous statute, next we have Article 18.16, or 18.16, of the Texas Code of Criminal Procedure, which is closely related to the concept we just discussed. This provision, known as preventing the consequences of theft, allows any person, not just a merchant or employee, to lawfully seize stolen property if they have reasonable belief that theft has occurred. The key term here is reasonable belief. You can't just stop anyone and seize their property without a solid basis. You have to be able to articulate this. The law requires that your actions are justified by concrete evidence or observation, and any seizure should be done so without breaching of the peace. Any person has the right to prevent the consequences of theft by seizing personal property that has been stolen. He or she must bring it along with the suspect before a magistrate. The property and suspect can also be delivered to a peace officer for examination, which in many of our cases is security officers. This will be the route we end up taking. This law provides a limited scope for citizens to take action when they witness a crime, but it's also clear about the need to avoid escalation. If you find yourself in a situation where you believe that theft has occurred, use reasonable force and common sense. Keyword common sense and reasonable force. If the situation starts escalating, use good judgment to decide if detaining the individual is worth the risk. Do you need to detain them? Can you get him next time? This is where common sense, problem-solving, critical thinking come into play. Use your OODA loop, which is observe, orient, decide, and act, which is a topic we will discuss in detail in another episode. Moving forward, the next segment we're going to cover is Title 1, Chapter 14, Article 14.1 of the Texas Code of Criminal Procedure, which governs arrest without a warrant for offenses within view. Here's the fine print. A peace officer or any other person may, without a warrant, arrest an offender when the offense is committed in his presence or within his view, if the offense is 1. Classified as a felony, or as an offense against the public peace. Remember, You're just a glorified private citizen and not a police officer. Generally, arrests in Texas require a warrant, but there are certain exceptions where law enforcement officers, and sometimes even civilians, can make an arrest without one. For example, a citizen can arrest someone without a warrant if they witness the person committing a felony or breach of the peace. For a peace officer, it doesn't have to be a felony, of course, but for the security officer, that's you and me, it has to be a felony or breach of the peace. This is where articulating comes into play here. Additionally, if a crime has just been committed and the officer has reasonable grounds to suspect that the person they're arresting committed it, they can proceed without a warrant. But you have to be able to articulate it. This chapter is particularly important because it provides the basis for immediate action by law enforcement and citizens in urgent situations. However, it also underscores the necessity of having reasonable grounds for the arrest. This prevents abuses of power and ensures that arrests are made with sufficient cause, protecting citizens' rights while allowing the law to be enforced. Remember, you need to be able to articulate it clearly to the police. See the trend here? Moving on, we have Penal Code 42.1, which covers disorderly conduct. This is a broad category that includes behaviors disrupting public peace and order. Examples of disorderly conduct under Texas law include using abusive language in public place, fighting in a public place, or making offensive gestures that could provoke someone to violence. Disorderly conduct can lead to a Class C misdemeanor charge, but certain acts like discharging a firearm in public place and other more violent actions can elevate the offense to a higher misdemeanor or even to a felony. Understanding the scope of what constitutes disorderly conduct is crucial, as it's often a charge that can arise from a misunderstanding or even a minor altercation. You would think this one is common sense, but many times charges get upgraded because people want to act out and lose self-control. You may find the code on disorderly conduct a little vague. I think it's this way on purpose to be more encompassing, so that way it allows greater flexibility within its boundaries and is not as quite as restricting. Next, we delve into the Penal Code 31.3, which is 31.03, which is the Texas statute defining theft. I think a lot of security officers get hung up on what constitutes theft, so they detain somebody without cause and are unable to articulate it, and it gets them in trouble civilly and criminally. So let's clarify what theft is. Theft is outlined as unlawfully taking property with the intent to deprive the owner of it. The key word here is intent. The severity of the offense is determined based on the value of the stolen property, which ranges from a Class C misdemeanor for items valued under $100, all the way up to a first-degree felony, which is usually a white-collar crime for theft involving property worth over $300,000 or more. Most of what we deal with as security officers, though, are going to be Class C's and Class B's, thefts under or right over $100, or Class B's for multiple convictions of theft. What makes this statute particularly important is the definition of intent. Key word here, intent. Proving theft often requires demonstrating that the accused has the intent to deprive the owner of permanently. This can make theft cases very complex, as prosecutors must show not just the act of taking something, but also the intent behind it. You need to make sure that you can articulate it fully. For example, you see someone entering the restroom with unpaid merchandise. What do you do? Do you make contact and detain the subject for theft, or do you wait to make contact with the subject and before verbally confronting them about the unpaid merchandise? It really depends, doesn't it? You stop them and temporarily detain them and determine that they in fact do have unpaid merchandise, but the subject then says, "Oh, I meant to pay for it. I just had to go to the bathroom really quick." Throws a wrench in the whole thing, doesn't it? Can't really get them for intent now, can we? Yes, we can confiscate the items and refuse sale, but we don't have intent anymore to prosecute for shoplifting. Now, if the item was opened or the food half eaten, then that's a completely different story because now we have intent. You can articulate intent to not pay due to the consuming or opening of the merchandise. My recommendation is if you honestly believe they're about to steal an item, I would make contact with them as they approach or cross over the threshold of the exit door. I personally like to wait outside and watch them through the glass or window, and if they then try to exit the store with the unpaid merchandise, I stop them at the door and either physically or verbally detain them to reacquire my items. Little tip of the trade, it's not okay for them to be sneaky, but it is okay for us to be sneaky. Moving on, we have Texas Penal Code 28.3, which deals with criminal mischief. Penal Code 28.03 encompasses acts like damaging or destroying someone else's property, tampering with property in a way that causes loss or inconvenience, or making or defacing property. Criminal mischief can be charged as either a misdemeanor or a felony. It just depends on the extent and dollar amount of the damage. As with other property crimes, intent plays a significant role here. And for a charge of criminal mischief to hold, there must be proof that the damage was intentional or knowing rather than accidental. This one is straightforward. Generally, you'll see this charge to someone that is damaging or destroying property or conducting graffiti. Keep in mind, though, that the criminal mischief does not necessarily constitute a disturbance or breach of peace. Depending on the action and behavior of the individual when contact is made, you may be able to articulate a breach of the peace, but it is not going to be automatic. So be careful if you're going to physically detain someone based solely on criminal mischief. If you do, you must be able to articulate it. There's that word, articulate again. Moving on, we have Texas Penal Code 38.14, which is taking or attempting to take a weapon from a commissioned security officer. I threw this one in here because this happened to me just a few months ago, and I want you to be informed if it ever happens to you. 38.14 specifically addresses the act or attempting to take a weapon from a commissioned security officer. This law makes it a felony to intentionally or knowingly try to seize a firearm, nightstick, or stun gun from an officer in the course of their duties. The severity of this offense reflects the serious nature of interfering with a security officer's ability to perform their job and ensure public safety. The statute is designed to deter individuals from disarming officers, recognizing that such actions can lead to dangerous escalations and undermine law enforcement efforts. This action constitutes deadly force, but remember, just because lethal force is authorized doesn't necessarily mean that it should be used. You have to take in consideration all the factors. Are you still in control of the situation? Is there any severe bodily injury to yourself or any other persons? Did they actually disarm you? Are you in a crowded area? Are you in a liberal DA city? Yes, unfortunately, it matters. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. But if the need arises, then defend yourself and those around you from death or serious bodily injury. Intent and articulate. See the pattern? All right, everyone. Thank you for making it this far. I know this episode was a little long-winded, but I believe it was filled with a lot of very important information that'll help you do your job. Understanding these laws, though, can be challenging and at times very overwhelming, but it's crucial for anyone living or working in Texas to be aware of them. Whether you're a security officer, business owner, a concerned citizen, or just someone looking to better understand your rights and responsibilities, knowing the nuances of these laws can help you navigate the complex situations effectively. Like I said before in the last episode, it is your responsibility to know the laws that govern your authorities as a security officer. Saying I don't know doesn't cut it anymore. Be better, take the initiative, and learn the ins and outs of your trade. All right, everyone, thank you for listening in with us today. That's it for today's deep dive on the Slide Lock Podcast. I hope you found this information valuable. Remember, it's your career. Take charge of it and strive for excellence. Join us every other Thursday evening for more insights into the security industry, where we'll break down training options, interpret legal jargon, and discuss real-world scenarios. I'm your host, William Reichel. Thank you for tuning in to the Slide Lock Podcast. You can listen in wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Don't forget to like, follow, and share. Message us with any questions, comments, or topics you'd like for us to cover or explore. Remember, everyone, stay safe, stay informed, and stay ahead.